Peace of Mind is a conversation about mental health issues in our community. It is not a replacement for treatment. Kyle and Angie are not clinicians, and their discussions do not constitute a medical opinion or diagnosis. If you feel the need to speak with someone about your or your family's mental health, please contact a doctor. Or for more information about mental health providers, or if you need more urgent help, call Helpline at 1-800-684-2324. And of course, please dial 911 in case of an emergency.
There's a community around the world that has historically been treated as second-class citizens and, at worst, faced persecution and horrific punishment. Here in the United States, estimates put 1 in 10 Americans in this community, approximately 32 million people. You can find verses in religious texts that seem to condemn this community, and the etymology of English words associated with this community are tied to interpretations of words like weak, sinister, and broken. Through history, it's been common practice when a child shows traits associated with this community to correct the child and have them suppress those traits. We now know that this practice can cause learning disabilities, dyslexia, stuttering, and other speech disorders. As we've progressed as a society, we tend to be much more accepting and celebratory toward this community, but it's clear that society still tends to favor those who don't identify with them. In most cases, you cannot tell if an individual identifies with this community just by looking at them. Some people identify with them in some situations, but not in others. Some countries still threaten them with death or imprisonment if they act on these traits, and some cultures still think of them as the devil. Have you figured out which community I'm talking about? Probably not, because I'm talking about left-handed people. If our society is capable of such repressive behavior based on which hand people write their name with, just imagine how bad things can be for people based on their gender identity and whom they love. Join us as we discuss the mental health challenges facing the LGBTQ community on today's show. I'm Kyle Lewis, and I'm joined by Angie Lee, and this is Peace of Mind, a conversation about mental health, wellness, and the never-ending quest to feel okay. Good morning and welcome to Peace of Mind. I'm Kyle Lewis. I am the Communications Director for the Delaware Morrow Mental Health and Recovery Services Board, and I am joined by Angie Lee. Angie, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Angie Lee. I'm the Executive Director of Safe Harbor.
We are also joined today, very, very lucky to have Kate Justice. Kate is a board member from Delaware, Ohio Pride. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we are going to be talking today about the mental health issues that seem to plague the LGBTQ community. And I think you'll find it's a lot of the same issues that heterosexual, straight, cisgendered people have to deal with. But it seems like it comes on in more alarming numbers in the LGBTQ community. And just looking at the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's called the DSM. It's basically like a holy text for counselors and clinicians in mental health. In 1952, the DSM listed homosexuality as a sociopathic personality disturbance. So this is, you know, this is after World War II. This is modern era, not quite the free love time of the 60s yet, but you know, it wasn't really until 1980 that it was recognized as not necessarily a problem, but, you know, something that regularly happens to normal people. Today, we see that LGBTQ individuals are more than twice as likely as their straight counterparts of having a mental health disorder in their lifetime. They are 2.5 times more likely to experience depression, anxiety, and substance abuse. And, you know, one shocking statistic that I read, 1 in 6 gay men has made at least one suicide attempt in their life. And I think, you know, through our discussion today, we're going to learn that, you know, it's not necessarily being in the LGBTQ spectrum that leads you to have these problems, but it's more what water are you swimming in? You know, if there are toxic waters, the fish are going to turn up dead, and it's nothing to do with the fish. So, Kate, first off, I was wondering if you could tell us what is Delaware Pride? What do you guys do, and how did you come to start working with them?
Delaware Ohio Pride is an organization in Delaware, Ohio. And we are trying to get recognition and acceptance for all communities in Delaware, Ohio, not just the LGBTQ community. Sure. We're trying to be intersectional and, you know, we're all here. We're all part of this community and we want to represent that. And we want people to feel welcome and accepted. Our friends, Lee and Spencer are the co-chairs. They started it, with some other people in the community. There was a big uproar over the drag story time. No, it was not a story time. The drag, they were going to do like drag 101 at the library.
I remember that.
Yeah. And there was this huge uproar about it in the community because it was at the library and it was taxpayer dollars. Never mind the fact that obviously LGBTQ people in Delaware also pay taxes. and it was something that the community had asked for. It wasn't something the library came up with. It was something that the youth in the community had asked for. Right. And so long story short, that started a whole thing, and they were like, wow, we really need this kind of organization. It can't just be one event and then everything goes quiet again. And so that kind of sparked that for them. And then Taylor and I, some friends of ours that were originally a part of it, moved out of town. Taylor and I were asked to fill their place, which is my wife. And so we've been on a little over a year, year and a half.
That's great. So have you seen many changes from in, you know, I don't know. Have you always been from Delaware?
Yeah. I grew up in Ostrander technically.
Okay.
But yeah, I've my whole adult life I've been in Delaware.
So I think people would be kind of interested to know what it's like coming to terms and, you know, talk as much as you're comfortable with this, what it's like being a youth and starting to realize that maybe things are a little different for you than they are for your peers.
I don't know for me personally if I'm a great example of that, only because I grew up in the Catholic Church and was very much, this was not an option for me. In Delaware, in the church, it just wasn't, you know, we didn't have queer representation. And so for me personally, it was not an option. So it never even crossed my mind. I heard a really good analogy the other day where it was like, she was like, I didn't know I liked pizza because everybody told me pizza would make me sick. So I just never ate the pizza. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that because I was like, yeah, like it wasn't even an option. But as I was realizing that I, you know, was queer, which wasn't until my early 20s, I was like, wow, like in Delaware, that's scary. It was, you know, and it makes me sad because I love Delaware and I'm proud to be here. But it was, you know, we don't have, if you think of like queer acceptance, you think of Columbus, you think of New York, you don't think of Delaware, Ohio.
Typically more progressive
right.
voting, progressive
right.
representation.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That does make a lot of sense. And, you know, you hit on a topic that I've personally come across. I grew up Catholic as well.
Okay.
And
so did I. Catholic schools.
And I remember being not explicitly taught this, but hearing it a lot in the church of love the sinner, hate the sin. And it's put out there as this policy of accepting people except for that which makes them sin. And when that sin is an essential part of who you are, it can lead to some pretty difficult situations.
Yep.
Usually a lot of self-hatred. Mm-hmm. I had a very good friend of mine who grew up and is to this day very religious, sings in his church choir, teaches, and lives in one of the most religious parts of the country. And he literally, in junior high, would wear rubber bands on his wrist. And anytime he had a homosexual thought, he would snap that rubber band. And he was trying to train himself to not be gay. But what he was training himself is to associate those thoughts with pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot to deal with in an already difficult time. You know, junior high isn't easy for anyone.
Right.
So, and I was going to say, and this was actually a number of years ago when I worked for a county agency, not any county agency around here. So I'm just going to say that now. I'll preface it with that. But and it was a children's services agency. And I worked there and we had this individual. He was part of the Philharmonic in a particular city and he was a foster parent. Well, he wanted to adopt two of the foster kids that he had, and both of them were boys. And basically, it became this huge uproar. Like, we're not going to allow you to adopt these two boys because he was gay. Yet he opened up this whole world. I mean, you just think about everything that this man offered to these mm-hmm. kids. And it was like, wait a minute. You allow him to be a foster parent, but not a father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that was something that was really hard to sit with. I mean, you just kind of, it just did not make any sense.
Right.
And you know, it comes down to, you know, some of the thoughts that people have mm-hmm. And hatred and bias and everything else. And, you know, all I kept thinking was, these kids are going to miss out on someone because of your hate and your ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was extremely painful. So it's not just from the Catholic Church side growing
right,
up, but
right.
also, I mean, like I said, I've seen it working in my
right,
field. So.
Right.
So on that topic of, you know, having to learn to accept it, you know, within yourself mm-hmm. before you even, you know, look at the community. One thing that a lot of us who are straight have is family and societal and, so we have support.
Right.
We have support from our schools. We have support from our religious organizations. We have support from athletics. You know, you have groups of like-minded people coming together. What is it like when you have a problem? Well, what you see as a problem like that, where you're having these thoughts growing up and you don't know if you have that kind of support in those institutions.
It's scary. Coming out is scary, obviously.
Sure.
But yeah, it's one of those things where you feel like even if you're sure that you're going to have support, even if you're sure that you are surrounded by people who love you or care about you or respect you or whatever, ultimately you can't know that until mm-hmm. you come out. And I know so many people who hesitated to come out to families that would have embraced them and loved them the entire time, but they were so fearful because what if they don't?
Right.
Because you can't know.
Right.
You can throw out hypotheticals all day. You can be supportive and hope that your family shows that same support. But at the end of the day, if it's you, what if they don't?
Well,
and it's scary.
And I think that's why you see such large numbers of LGBTQ homeless mm-hmm. teens, teens who are either kicked out of their families for this reason or run away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not to be, you know, discriminatory about housing or how people choose to live, but there's a lot of trauma associated with being homeless.
For sure.
You know, there's food insecurity. There's, mm-hmm. you know, the harshness of the elements. There's, you know, facing, you know, prosecution for it even.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who choose to be homeless and are happy, but I
yeah.
would venture to guess that the vast majority would much rather be in a stable
right.
environment.
Well, especially if you're forced into it, you know, there's trauma in the experience of living homeless when you're forced into it, but also you've lost your family, you've lost your support system, you know, so it's like tenfold because it's all these layers of that rejection and the insecurity and instability.
So we know that there are these issues that, you know, because of the way society is shaped and formed, LGBTQ teenagers and adults fall into these problems. And I'm curious if Delaware Pride has any answers, or at least, you know, what kind of help might be available for people.
So Delaware Ohio Pride is working on a couple different programs or things, for lack of a better word, resources.
Sure.
So on our website, we have the national resources that are already in place. It's DelawareOhioPride.org. And we have an education committee that goes out, and we are in works with the local GSAs, like at Olentangy, Buckeye Valley, Hayes. And we help them educate, you know, their students and stuff in a safe, age-appropriate manner.
Mm-hmm.
But we also are working on some programs where we can go into different businesses and do like inclusivity training and that sort of thing, so that we can help the businesses around Delaware be more inclusive and be more accepting and more welcoming to the LGBTQ community.
So, Kate, with the businesses, is that something that is free of charge for businesses? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's important.
Yes.
To make sure that this is something that the organization is doing,
right,
to really kind of integrate and get this message out into a lot of the local businesses. Because I know
totally
we would
agree.
Love to have you come out and
for sure.
train.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
So definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, anybody can reach out to us. You can send us an email. I think you can message us directly through our website. We're on Facebook. But if a community member or a business wants to reach out, we're more than happy to come and do a talk with your employees.
Fantastic.
So I wanted to ask a little bit about the Pride Festival here mm-hmm. in Delaware. Now, I started with the Mental Health Board about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And one of the first things I did was try to reach out to, you had mentioned Spencer Webb, the director of Delaware Pride, to talk about sponsoring the Pride Festival. Now, shortly after we started that discussion, COVID hit.
Right.
So there was
I remember.
There was no festival. But tell me a little bit about what the event is now that, you know, things like this can go on.
So this year we did have, in partnership with Unity Community Fest, because of COVID and what the regulations were or the guidelines were at the beginning of the year, we decided to not do a fest this year. And then when things started to kind of lift, Unity Community Center reached out to us, which is another organization in Delaware. And they reached out to us to partner with them in a Pride Fest. And we had the best time. We had a ton of vendors. The community came out. Honestly, as somebody who grew up in and around Delaware, it was pretty spectacular. We got a lot of people that came in from out of town who used to live in Delaware. And they were like, when we saw that you guys were doing this, we had to come. We had a drag show that was family friendly during the day. And then we had one in the evening. We had a DJ that played music all day. We had food trucks. We had a really good time.
So what did it mean for you to, you started to go into it a little bit there, but as somebody, you know, growing mm-hmm. up in Ostrander and growing up in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. to be able to live your true identity and not only be accepted, but be embraced in that, what was that like for you?
I could cry. I'm not going to, but honestly, as somebody who did come out later and because I think I understood the full weight of it because mm-hmm. I was an mm-hmm. adult. It's so huge. It's so validating, and it's to have this kind of acceptance, like even seeing the flags downtown, which was spectacular. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain to anyone who doesn't have that same, I hate to say oppression because I don't want people to, whatever, but I, you know, like to not be in the same boat,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's something that I think that you can be like, okay, no, this was cool that you guys did this. But like, if you're not part of the community or part of a community that is in that way, you know, seen like a second class citizen or not accepted or not safe,
mm-hmm.
To see that in your community is just, I don't even have words. It's so huge.
That's wonderful. And, you know, hoping that this is something that can continue on, you know, not just the Pride event.
Right.
But you guys have all kinds of events,
yes.
including one, you know, this episode is going to air mm-hmm. Saturday morning, but you guys have an event
we have
here
brunch,
in Delaware.
Yeah.
wonderful looking event.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about Bippity Boppity Brunch?
Bippity Boppity Brunch. This is chapter 2, villains. I'm so excited. So we did the first one like pre-COVID, and it was like Disney princesses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we teased villains then, and obviously couldn't have it because of COVID.
Sure.
And so we're all like really excited to be able to get back into these events. The community response has always been really good overall. We've never had like any crazy negative response. You know, we get a couple comments here and there, but nothing wild. We don't have protesters or anything like that. It's been really cool.
And you know, you mentioned negative response and what, when I think about it, you know, I think about, you know, the people in my community who are not on board with LGBTQ mm-hmm. and the people who I've grown up with who are not. And I think, you know, there's a number of reasons why somebody might not be, you know, they received the same religious mm-hmm. training that, you know, we have experienced, which was how a lot of people, you know, in the church thought back then and continue to think in a number of churches. Mm-hmm. And I think some of where this resistance comes from is how often the terms, the designations, and really the thinking, how often it changes mm-hmm. or adapts. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, plenty of people who just maybe feel a little tired of, oh, okay, well, we called it this back then, but now we have to call mm-hmm. it this, and now we have to call it this, and I'm not allowed to say this, and I'm not allowed to say this. And so I think what happens is a lot of people just kind of throw their hands up and say, all right, I'm just out, mm-hmm. you know, which is, I think, in a way, people can relate to that, but also kind of unfortunate because there is so much information out there. You know, if you are having an issue, you know, Kate, you and I were talking this morning, uh-huh. and very simple to say, can you tell me, what are your pronouns? Right. What would you like me to, how would you like me to address mm-hmm. you? And, you know, it didn't cause, you know, there were right. no explosions.
Right.
There were, and
it's very simple.
right. And that's not to say, you know, I'm not trying to call people out here, no. but I'm trying to say it might be easier than you think mm-hmm. to, you know, even if you're not accepting, not being directly opposing mm-hmm. what's going
and
on.
And how often do we say to each other, do you want to be called Miss, Mrs.? Right. You know, your name's Angela on here, but what do you want to be called? Mm-hmm. So that's the analogy. It's not any different.
Right.
It is the same thing.
This right. is all things that we already do when we're addressing people. The problem is that it's an internalized, you know, dislike of this community. Because these are things, you know, like people are like, well, you can't use they as singular. Well, you can. We do it all the time.
Absolutely.
The delivery driver just dropped off my food. I hope they got the order right. We say it all the time.
Right.
But these are things, you know, like asking pronouns because, like you said, you know, oh, do you want to go by Miss or Mrs., which is a whole nother thing. But, you know, it's one of those things that these are things sure. that we do all the time. It's just as easy to ask somebody what their pronouns are.
Mm-hmm.
Or even introduce yourself like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm Kate Justice. It's nice to meet you. My pronouns are she, her.
Right.
It's, you know, it's one of those things where, like, the more we do it, the easier it gets. And it's so small for us to make those changes, but it's so huge and so validating for people who are going through life, you know, constantly scared of being outed or constantly, you know, like if you ask their pronouns and they don't have to just offer that to you and right. then out themselves.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things where it just makes it so much easier for all these other people to go through life. And I don't know if that's just who I am as a person, but if I can make that easier for them, why wouldn't I?
Sure.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is for people that are straight.
Right.
The more we do it.
Exactly.
The more normal it becomes.
Right.
And because I think that's where. Exactly. Yeah. And right. that's where, you know, I think that we can be that ally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I'll give you an example. My daughter has a friend and they were born female
mm-hmm.
and they now like to be called Jack, mm-hmm. but likes to use the pronoun they.
Yes.
And so, you know, and I'll be honest, I at first I'm like, I would say
right,
Jack's
right.
mom or, and it, mm-hmm. because right. it was something that was a change over the last year, but now I've got it down.
Right. Yeah. Once you get, yeah, it's one of those things where once you, cause you have to see them as who they are. And that ultimately, you know, like I know a lot of people who struggle with pronouns, and when it comes down to it, you're still thinking about them as you knew them. Mm-hmm. And the second that you switch that and you're like, that's not who they are. It instantly, like, you constantly, even if you say it out loud wrong, you're like, oh, no, that wasn't right. And then you just say, like, oh, if you say, she went to the store, oh, they went to the store. You just correct it. You don't have to make it some big show.
And I think if you come into it,
right,
I think if you attempt to come into it in good faith,
right.
that will be recognized.
Absolutely.
You know, simple, mm-hmm. you know, slip or mistake.
Right.
I'm terrible with names overall. So
right.
if
yeah,
I call somebody
happens.
The same name, mm-hmm. I apologize. Or right. call somebody the wrong name.
Right.
I apologize. And, you know, there's a lot of help out there through the Delaware Morrow Mental Health Recovery Service Board's wonderful roster of mm-hmm. mental health, addiction, behavioral health providers mm-hmm. can be found on our website or on our social media at dmmhrsb.org. You can reach out to us any way you see fit, and we will be there. And also, one of those providers happens to be here with us. Angie, what kind of help would be specifically available at Safe Harbor?
So really, it's a number of different things.
Sure.
We provide the peer support services, but it is a safe environment. Mm-hmm. You walk in and it feels like your home. And for us, that's the most important thing. You know, and I'm very clear with staff and even some consumers that, you know, we are a judgment-free zone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have had consumers over the years say things, and I can tell you they are corrected. They are definitely corrected. And really it's, you know, we have a lot of different programs, but even if someone just needs to get away, and just kind of be by themselves, but be around mm-hmm. other people, mm-hmm. you know, that's another service that we provide, as well as you had mentioned the food insecurity and so forth. Mm-hmm. But we do have access to clothing. We do have access to food. We have access to all of that type of stuff. So, you know, that's another service outside that someone doesn't necessarily have to come in for.
Right, right.
They can just call and we can help them.
Okay.
How would we get in touch with you, Angie?
You can call us at 740-363-1619, or our website is shpss.org.
Wonderful. And Kate, if people were looking for help or to offer their support or for more information on Delaware Pride, how would they be able to get a hold of you guys?
We are most active on Facebook at Delaware Ohio Pride. On Facebook. We also have the Delaware Ohio Pride group, which is a closed group. So it's more of a safe space. Our main page is public, so everybody has access sure. to it, obviously. But then we do also have a group page for people who maybe you're not out or whatever, but you want to start to be able to, you know, live your truth, mm-hmm. you know, in a more public setting. You're absolutely welcome to join our group. And then we also have, like I said, DelawareOhioPride.org, which is our website, which you can find all of our information on as well. And we have an Instagram under the same name.
Wonderful. And before we close out here, I would like to stress that the reason why this help is available is because it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we in the mental health community here, when there is a need, we seek to provide as much help as possible. And, you know, the mental health board, we offer all these programs through our providers, and, you know, these we're offering this help because we offer help to everybody in Delaware and Morrow counties. You know, not trying to single anybody out or not trying to, you know, specifically cater to a group over others. If there is specific need there, that is where we meet people. So I want to thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've had an awesome time talking. Thanks so much to Kate from Delaware Pride. Angie, thank you for coming in. Gage, thank you for taking time. Our board operator here, engineer.
My pleasure.
We will be back next week and every week after that, hopefully, Saturday mornings, 8:30 on Classic Rock 95X in Morrow County and 9:30 on My 96.7 here in Delaware. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you next week.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you.